WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? TGIF. I can't believe it's already Friday. Yes, the weekend is right around the corner. I'm excited. I know you guys are excited. A long work week. I tell you, it came here fast, though. I will say that. So glad that you've allowed Current Sports to close out your week and be a part of your week throughout this entire week. We had some great guests and some great moments here on the show. We wrap up things by talking with Carlton Valentine, who has decided to come back and be the head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. Look forward to chatting with him. You'll get to hear from Carlton in just a sec. We'll also talk about the Tigers, the Detroit Pistons, as they have hired a few new pieces to try and put together this really starting to look very, very well, very, very good team coming up this upcoming year. And also, we'll talk about the NCAA approving the Power 5 autonomy situation. That's an interesting convo. And also, it's Reflection Friday, folks. But hey, it's custom here on the show. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon and happy Friday. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Friday, August 8th. Michigan State women's golfer Lindsey McPherson, who is a rising senior this year, shot a 2-over par 73 in the first round of the Meijer LPGA Classic Thursday at Blithfield Country Club. McPherson received a sponsor exemption from Meijer to play in the professional tournament. The Flushing, Michigan native is tied for 75th on the leaderboard, but is just one shot back of the projected cut, top 70. The field features 143 players total. The second round of the Meijer LPGA Classic is set for today. You can follow live at lpgascoring.com. McPherson will tee off at 1:38 p.m. The Detroit Tigers could not escape a four-game series against the New York Yankees with a series split. They fell yesterday afternoon 1-0. Shane Green walked three and struck out five while pitching into the ninth inning for the first time in his career. Detroit Tigers pitcher Rick Porcello gave up nine hits in seven innings and struck out five. The cold bats of the Tigers only generated six runs throughout the series. Anibal Sanchez will start when Detroit opens a three-game series at Toronto today. First pitch is at 7:07 p.m., and the Blue Jays swept a three-game series at Detroit in June. The Detroit Pistons announced the hiring of Tim Hardaway as an assistant coach on Thursday, who was one of the best point guards in the league for most of his 13 seasons. Hardaway spent time with the Golden State Warriors, Miami Heat, Dallas Mavericks, Denver Nuggets, and Indiana Pacers. Wow. The team also announced that former NBA player Malik Allen will join Hardaway as an assistant coach, and former NBA standout Quentin Richardson will be the director of player development. Richardson played for Van Gundy for two seasons in Orlando. Some more signings for a different Detroit team on Friday morning. The Detroit Lions announced they released Corey Greenwood to make room for the signing of defensive back Nate Ness. Coach Jim Caldwell said Greenwood's exit was not related to a neck injury that had sidelined the linebacker last year. Ness broke into the league as an undrafted free agent out of Arizona in 2009, but has played in only eight games. Half of those games came with St. Louis back in 2011. 6'1", 190-pound defensive back spent part of the spring with Detroit before getting released. In soccer news, one of the all-time greats is hanging up the cleats. At the end of the 2014 MLS season, star Landon Donovan is set to retire at the age of 32. Donovan appeared in three World Cups and is the world's leading scorer in MLS and World Cup. He has been the face of MLS for his entire career. And following Paul George's injury, dominoes continue to fall for Team USA. All-star and MVP Kevin Durant has decided to withdraw from the team, citing that he has physical and mental fatigue. Durant reached out to Coach K on Thursday afternoon and expressed that he is just, quote, physically and mentally drained from the NBA season and his attention to his many responsibilities, end quote. He had participated in training camp last week in Las Vegas and was the MVP in FIBA back in 2010. Other players withdrawing include Kevin Love, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kawhi Leonard so far. Also, in some ground-shaking NCAA news, the conference has approved a reform that will give the five biggest conferences the ability to change rules governing college sports. The five conferences include Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, and SEC. Some of the rules they could change are amount of scholarship money, athlete health care, continued education. Beginning October 1st, the 65 schools between the five conferences will break off from the 280 other schools. And finally, from the PGA Championship in Valhalla, American Rory McIlroy just took the lead with 8-under in the second round. Other notables include Ryan Palmer and Henrik Stenson, who are tied for second at 6-under, Jim Furyk, who sits at 7th with 4-under. Tiger Woods nowhere to be found at the top of the leaderboard, playing injury-free, and sits 3-over and not projected to make the cut thus far. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Friday, August 8th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Lines are now open.
Hey, all right. Thanks a lot, Alex, for those current sports quick hit headliners. Again, folks, if you want to call in and give your thoughts about anything that we talk about here on the show, or anything that's just on your mind, you know you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, okay? Again, we'll talk about anything that's on your noggin. First off, want to give a special thanks, shout-out to Terry Hesbrook, who is the head coach of the Ithaca football team. Terry was my guest on Current Sports last night. It was a great time sitting down and talking with Terry about everything. You know, it's just this entire streak that's going on. If you don't know, Ithaca High School football has the longest streak in high school football right now in the state of Michigan. 56 straight. Can you believe that? It's also tied for the longest winning streak in high school 11-man football in the entire nation, tied with a school out in Iowa City. Again, 56 straight. It's unbelievable. So, Terry and I talked about, the incredible streak and, at the beginning of the streak, did he ever think it'll grow to this? And, four straight state championships now, trying to make it five this upcoming season. And, hey, high school football is right around the corner, folks. It starts the same week that MSU football kicks off. That MSU football, of course, kicks off that Friday of August 28th. It's going to be a great week. I can't believe it that August is already here and football is right around the corner. But it was a great time sitting down with Terry. You can also see highlights from the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame as I took a trip out there last week and covered that and talked to some of the inductees. You also get to hear from, get an update on Kenny Kaminsky being let go from the MSU men's basketball team, and also Keith Appling signing a summer league deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. All of that and so much more on this week's Current Sports TV. If you missed it last night, if you have to be doing something more, hey, we just went to bed early like I did. I was just drained yesterday, folks. You can go to video.wkr.org. Again, that's video.wkr.org and look up that episode, and you can watch any episode that we've done throughout Current Sports TV's history, okay? Great, great time. Well, again, happy Friday, folks. In just a moment, we will be chatting with Carlton Valentine. Yes, he's back like MJ, folks. Yeah, he's back and will be coaching the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team this upcoming basketball season after taking a year hiatus. Ryan Banks, of course, being let go by Lansing Sexton. So they decided to give Carlton a call, and he graciously accepted. So we'll be talking with Carlton about how that entire story ensued and what made him come back to Lansing Sexton, and just about the entire situation that went on with Ryan Banks and what exactly went down in that area. So we'll be talking with Carlton about that. That should be exciting. And again, if you have any questions for Carlton and you want to weigh in on his hiring again of Lansing Sexton basketball, if you got any questions for the man, the myth, the legend, you can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And during our second segment of today's show, we'll talk about the Tigers as, again, their bats just go silent, dead silent, folks. The Tigers falling in their series to the Yankees. The series finale was yesterday afternoon around 1 o'clock, and the Tigers just losing, as you heard in our quick hit headliners, losing 1-0 to the Yankees. The Yankees taking 3 of the 4 games in that series. And how about the Pistons' new hires? How about Tim Hardaway Jr.? And you got Quentin Richardson over there, Malik Allen. Really interesting powerhouse the Pistons are trying to build over there now. I'm going to say this right now. I think the Pistons, I'm going to guarantee that they make the playoffs next year. And that may be a little biased. Again, I am a big, big Piston fan. But I just think, looking at, you know, what Stan Van has done in the offseason and the acquisitions that this team was able to pull out throughout the offseason, and I'm feeling good about the red, white, and blue this upcoming year, okay? But we'll talk about the Pistons' new hirees, which includes Mr. Crossover, Tim Hardaway Jr., who was acting as a scout last season for the Miami Heat. Tim Hardaway will be joining the sidelines now with Stan Van and getting his feet wet in a new coaching role. So that should be exciting. And also the NCAA approving the Power Five Conference's ability to now make up its own rules. How about that? It's so interesting. That story, we actually talked about that as it broke during our show yesterday, and it really opens up a big can of worms now for the Power Five conferences to have a lot of power. And in many ways, it could give a lot of power to the student athletes as far as protecting their rights and quote unquote needs as a college student athlete. Interesting discussion. We'll also talk about that and bring to you Reflection Friday as well. Again, the number to call in if you want to weigh in on anything is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, Alex, well, big news from the Pistons and big news from the Tigers as, again, they fall in that four-game series to the Yankees. I tell you what, when looking at that Tigers series, man, I just tell you, it's kind of the same old song with them. The bats go completely cold in yesterday, and I just couldn't hit. For me, watching that game, it wasn't more evident. That notion wasn't more evident than in the ninth inning when Ian Kinsler and Victor Martinez, they both get on, first and second base. First and second base with no outs. I'm thinking, okay, this is a perfect opportunity. The Tigers are definitely going to score here. And then you have a moment where Miguel Cabrera comes in, who didn't even start. He was brought in as to pinch hit for JD Martinez. So you're thinking Miggy's at bat. You got two guys on base in Ian Kinsler and Victor Martinez, V-Mart, and you have no outs, and you got one of the best hitters in the game coming to the plate. You're thinking, okay, the Tigers are definitely going to score here, or Miggy's going to at least make some contact and get things rolling here. But he didn't. He grounded into a double play, and then Don Kelly follows him and hits a soft liner that, he's called out after that, and then the Tigers don't even get a hit. So it's just, at any point right there, it was just so evident. The clear message here was that the Tigers just couldn't hit, and they haven't been able to hit throughout this entire series. They only had six runs throughout this entire series, Alex.
It's definitely a concern, but at the end of the day, Al, we got the Blue Jays series. There are many division games still left to play. It's still a little bit early. And I know we say this every week on the show, and a lot of other talk shows say, oh, it's baseball, it's a long season, you got to wait and see. Give it a little bit more time, Al, before we start jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, but just looking at that series, though, a lot of people are just wondering, and even my Twitter and the Current Sports Facebook page, people were commenting, like, what's wrong with the Tigers right now? And I'm sitting there like, okay, well, if you look at it, the Tigers just can't hit right now. That's the problem. That's the present-day problem right now for the Tigers. And, we talk about that bullpen. That bullpen has been surprisingly solid, I will say. Throughout that Yankees series, they were not bad, especially if you look at, yesterday's afternoon game. Phil Koch threw a scoreless eighth inning, and it gave up no hits. Gave up no hits at all. So that was pretty impressive. Phil Koch has been, looking at his past few outings, he has not been bad. Anytime he's approached the mound and came in to sort of, close out the game and try to salvage the game for the Tigers, he has done so and ideally put the Tigers in a position to win as the game trickles down. So I was very pleased with the closing in this series. The Tigers just could not get a bat on the ball. And it seemed as though, and I don't want to put a jinx on the Tigers, but just looking at the proof in the pudding and looking at how the Tigers have played at Yankee Stadium since it's open, Detroit is 5-15 at Yankee Stadium. And, 17-24 overall since 2009 in Yankee Stadium, folks. So they have not played they have not played really well at all in Yankee Stadium. If 5-15 there, 17-24 overall since 2009. And despite that record, the Tigers have beaten the Yankees, though, in the playoffs, twice in the playoffs, to be exact. So, you know, I guess in the regular season, the Tigers just haven't been able to produce runs and just been able to play well in Yankee Stadium. So, but if you're asking out there what in the world happened to the Tigers throughout this series, hey, folks, they just could not hit at all. It was just one of those things where the Tigers just, you know, the bats went silent again. So now the Tigers starters throughout that entire series, this series is really hyped up due to a few reasons. You had this incredible starting lineup for the Tigers as far as the starting pitching is concerned, and guys like Max Scherzer, you know, Justin Verlander. You had David Price making his first start. You know, Rick Porcello pitched yesterday. I mean, that starting group, the reason why I was hyped up happened to be that, you know, you got Cy Young winners going against the Yankees, a story franchise in the Yankees. And then you add in the fact that it's also Derek Jeter's last season. I mean, it was a really hyped up series. And if you look at the starters, though, the Tigers starters, they made some quality starts. If you look at it, 6 innings and 3 runs or fewer in 14 of their last 18 starts. The Tigers starters have definitely brought it, and I thought they brought it this, you know, throughout this outing in this Yankees series. The combined ERA right now is just 2.96, and the strikeouts are at 117. And it's really impressive. Again, the Tigers just could not hit. And again, if you look at the lineup yesterday, you had a guy like Torii Hunter, who of course is trying to heal from his woes, you know, after getting hit in the hand 2 games ago. So the Tigers are going to be fine, I think. But right now, they just got to get a bat on the ball, Alex.
Yeah, aside from the bat and the ball, there's still talks of them trading for relief pitching. You keep hearing it. There's the whole hand-in-hand thing. It's still going. I mean, they signed Johnson, the former A's closer, to a deal after he was released by them. And, yeah, it just seems like they just can't gel. And I don't know if that's something that they need to acquire another player for. I think they just need to just wait and see how. I don't think there's an easy answer to it.
Right.
It's bad, but there really isn't much to say about it. They're just not gelling.
Right.
It's very simple.
Right, exactly. And it's, you know, I think eventually they'll wake up. I think they'll be fine. But again, in that series, they just could not hit. They could not hit at all.
Now,
it was just bad.
Now, with the Blue Jays series, also a good team. Honestly, probably a little bit better than the Yanks right now, division-wise. Mm-hmm. The Orioles, Blue Jays, then Yankees. So, is this the defining line for you as a test, Al? I mean, you got the Blue Jays, and they go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But again, we're approaching now. It's about one-third in the season left, about 50 or so games left. Well, actually, I think 50 games left now. And, you know, looking at this season as it dwindles down for the Tigers, I think they got to start. What you can be encouraged with is, you know, the starting pitching for the Tigers is the best in the MLB, without a doubt. You know, your starting pitching is going to be there. The bullpen, again, looking at how the bullpen performed throughout this Yankees series, the bullpen wasn't bad at all. I thought, you know, what we finally saw Joaquin Soria come in and have a quality outing. Phil Cote was great. Jabba Chamberlain even had a solid outing, other than hitting DJ. But, you know, overall, I thought the Tigers bullpen played pretty well. Again, I'm just waiting on when the Tigers are going to wake up and start hitting, and that just comes with, I think, a few things. Confidence. I think it comes with just kind of just getting into the flow of the game. There's a lot of factors that weigh in on that. The Tigers, if you look at the stats, they have multiple guys that are hitting still, even with this series right now. They have multiple guys that are hitting still over 300. So I think they will be fine as the season goes on. And, you know, again, I think right now you really have to start playing your best baseball, because it is getting closer and closer to the postseason now. It is now August. Soon it's going to be September. And, you know, hey, the Tigers are going to have to start clicking, because when it comes to the playoffs in any sport, not even just in the MLB, it is all about momentum. How you close out your season going into the playoffs, because that momentum trickles over into the postseason. So I think they have to start playing their best baseball right now. There's no time to spare anymore. So, again, it's going to be exciting to see how as the season trickles down now, how they do close out the season. But, you know, it's good right now that the bullpen looks as though they're starting to get, you know, have some sort of consistency there. And because that was the big question throughout the season, even though I know it's only one series, so we can't say that the bullpen is going to be 100% cured as the season goes on. But you got to be encouraged looking at how they played this Yankee series, that, hey, you know, there's some light at the end of this tunnel. So we'll definitely see how it goes on. Only time will tell as the season goes on now. I think this is a definitely a good series for the Tigers to prove that, you know, the bullpen that, you know, hey, that wasn't a fluke, you know, against the Yankees. Hey, we're going to be fine. So, and I think the starting pitching will be there again. I believe they have pitching Anibal Sanchez tonight at 7:07 p.m. against Toronto. So we'll see how that one. Let's see if he can get some things going on as well. So again, folks, we're opening up our phone lines 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We encourage you all to call in and give your thoughts on anything that is on your noggin or anything that we're talking about here on today's show. Yeah, that's right. Anibal Sanchez, he will be starting tonight at 7:07 p.m. against the Toronto Blue Jays. So, and if you remember, the Blue Jays, they swept a 3-game series at Detroit in June. So this could definitely be some payback for this team. And how about the Detroit Pistons, huh? The Pistons definitely shocked me with these new hires to beef up their coaching staff. Tim Hardaway. See, I'm so used to saying Tim Hardaway Jr. After covering him at Michigan, and now, of course, he's playing for the New York Knicks. But Tim Hardaway, his father, who was one of the best point guards in the league for many, many of his years during his 13 seasons in the NBA, Tim Hardaway is now an assistant coach on the Detroit Pistons staff, joining Stan Van and company now. So I think that's really interesting. And also, if you look at it, you know, Hardaway spent some time with the Golden State Warriors, the Miami Heat, Dallas Mavericks, Denver Nuggets, and Indiana Pacers as well. He's just coming off a year as a scout with the Miami Heat. I think this, you know, Alice, when looking at it, this was a great, great addition for the Detroit Pistons, especially when you look at this Pistons team. A guy like Brandon Jennings, who I think has immense talent. Brandon Jennings shows that he can come in a game, he can score, and at times he can facilitate. He just, I feel as though Brandon, though, he's a little rough around the edges, because if he feels as though he's doing more facilitating than scoring and his teammates aren't putting that ball in the bucket, he feels as though he's got to do too much. He feels as though he's got to start scoring now and just sort of abandons team ball in many regards. I saw that multiple times last year. By hiring a guy like Tim Hardaway, who again was one of the best point guards in the league for multiple years, they call him, you know, Mr. Crossover. I mean, his game was so polished. He's an unbelievable player during his playing years. Tim Hardaway kind of serves as a mentor now for Brandon Jennings and will help immensely, I think, in the development of his point guard instincts, especially this upcoming year.
Sure. The only concern I really have is it's very young. Quinn Richardson. Maybe not Hardaway, but between Malik Allen and Quentin Richardson, younger personnel. And a lot of teams, they have a lot of guys that have a lot more experience, maybe older in age, have seen a lot more games, a lot more talent come through. That's my only concern here, Al, is a lot of these guys, like Quentin Richardson, players that were in the NBA just 5-10 years ago and now are getting adjusted to personnel and assistant coaching jobs. So that's a concern of mine. It is.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, if you look at it, Hardaway and Allen, they also join Brendan Malone, Bob Bayer, and Charles Clask in filling out the coaching staff. So they do have some veteran leadership there. And then, you have, of course, at the top of it all off, you got Stan Van Gundy as your head coach. Stan Van Gundy has the experience. So I think in many ways you kind of need young guys, especially I think a guy like Quentin Richardson, a guy who's had some type of success in the NBA. I think his best years were with the L.A. Clippers. And he was a very, very solid player during those years. And then if you look at it, there's a lot of young pieces on this Pistons team. Sometimes you need a guy you can relate to. You know, you need a young guy who's just coming off the league, who knows the ups and downs, and it's really fresh in their mind to sort of act as a mentor as well to a lot of the young players in the league. So in that regard, I can see it's kind of a catch-22, because I can see what you're saying. You want that veteran leadership in certain areas, but you also want that coupled with a few young guys, some youth there, that can relate to those young players who are just now entering the league. So I definitely see that. And it's not like, again, looking at the rest of that coaching staff, they are veterans who have worked with Stan Van Gundy. A guy like Bob Bayer and Charles Clask, those guys have experience in the league and have been with Stan Van for quite some time.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they don't really have anyone with experience now. Think about it. What assistant coach they had that has more than 10 years of coaching experience that isn't young?
Yeah, I hear you, but I think that's overrated, though, Alex. I think when you look at it, when you got a guy like Stan Van Gundy is the man at the end of the day who moves this car. Stan Van Gundy has had multiple years of success in the NBA. He's gotten to an NBA Finals, for goodness sake. He knows what it takes to win. I think looking at the staff he's hired, you got to trust that he knows what he's doing at this point. So them being, you know, Tim Hardaway, this being really his first assistant coach role, and a guy like Malik Allen. But again, you know, Brendan Malone is another guy. You know, I think right now there's three coaches on here on this assistant coaching roster that have years of experience in coaching in the league. So I think bringing in two guys like, you know, Quentin Richardson and Malik Allen, and Quentin Richardson is more so going to be like a just kind of an assistant to chip in here and there. It's not like he's going to be really hands-on when you look at the other guys who are part of this coaching staff. So I think that could be a little overrated. But bringing in, you know, a guy like Tim Hardaway and Malik Allen who are in their infancy roles as assistant coaches, and bringing in looking at three other guys who have had years of experience in the league, I think that's fine.
All right, but still, I mean, the director of player development being Quentin Richardson, that's one, aside from assistant coaching personnel, it's a little questionable.
That's not a huge role,
32
though.
Years old?
That's not the director of player development isn't one of your prime roles on that coaching staff. It's a very valid role because obviously it was hired for a reason. But it's not like he's going to be, you know, teaching these guys on the X's and O's, you know. He's going to be in charge of just the overall skill development of the team. In many, many ways. But as far as him pulling the trigger, as far as what plays are going to be called, you know, and so on and so forth, hey, that's Stan Van's area.
Oh, fair enough. Well, let's look. I mean, you got Hardaway working with Jennings and Malik Allen. We'll see. Maybe he's working with more of the bigs. But does this project the Pistons now for you, Al? Does this make the Pistons a whole lot better with the new coaching hires?
I think so. I think, again, just the hire of Stan Van Gundy makes the Pistons now among, you know, one of the elite in the East now, which isn't hard because the Eastern Conference last year was not that great. But Stan Van Gundy knows what he's doing. He showed that before. It was just a matter of, I was sitting there waiting for him to get a job because it was just a matter of time before Stan Van was going to be hired. And the fact that he chose the Pistons, I mean, that was a steal they got. He knows what he's doing. You got to trust what the personnel that he's surrounding himself with because it's worked in the past. I'm sure. I'm very, very confident. You got to feel very, very good that Stan Van knows what he's doing and trust the guys around him to do their jobs. And looking at the personnel on this team, the Pistons have a lot of talent on this team as well. In many ways, in the NBA, talent sometimes supersedes coaching. In the NBA, that's really you know, one of the few sports that you can say does that. There's a lot of talent on this Pistons squad, and they're going to make some noise, man. I think they're going to make a lot of noise this season.
All right, very good. Well, we do have a caller, Al, that would like to talk Tigers baseball.
Yeah, let's get to him. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Yeah, hi, Al. I'd like to get back to the Tigers. My comment concerns the decision making in yesterday's game.
Right.
You know, when you're not hitting as a team, you're not hitting, and you have the great fortune of getting runners at first and second with nobody out in the ninth inning.
Yes, yeah.
You know, why did they not have Martinez bunt those, you know, and move those runners up and then bring Cabrera in at bat for Kelly? You know, that ground ball to second base would have scored the tying run.
Right.
You know, it just to come in and have him swing away, and he hasn't been hitting. I mean, nobody's been hitting in this series against a bunch of no-name pitchers.
Exactly.
You know? You got to do something to manufacture some runs, and I think that they really lost. You know, they really blew their chance in that game yesterday.
Right, and when looking at that moment, because that was for me as well. Talking about it, you know, that was the key moment that I thought the Tigers were going to take the lead there. You know, again, you got runners at first and second base, and then you know Brad Ausmus decides to bring in Miguel Cabrera to pinch hit for JD. So you feel as though JD should have went out there and did the job instead of bringing in Miguel Cabrera, who, again, didn't start yesterday.
Right, right.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, Martinez is a much better hitter than Kelly is. You know, and I'm sure Martinez could have, you know, laid a bunt down that would have moved the runners up. You know, and then bring Cabrera in, let him swing away. You know, his chances of hitting into a double play are remote. You know, and that if he just bounces to second base like he did yesterday, you know, that scores a run right there.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
And then you get another guy at third base with one out. You know, fly ball brings him home.
Right, right. Yeah, that certainly was the key moment in that game if the Tigers wanted to take the lead. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah, again, that was a key moment, Alex. I mean, everybody's talking about that moment. Again, the Tigers, you know, they have runners at first and second. And, you know, but looking at it, though, you know, a guy like, you know, okay, you bring in Miguel Cabrera to pinch it for JD Martinez, I can kind of see the thought process that Brad Ausmus was thinking about. You got it's Miguel Cabrera here. You know what I mean? Miguel Cabrera, even though he's been on a little bit of a slump lately, Miguel Cabrera is one of the best hitters in baseball. You got a golden opportunity here. This is the last game of this series, a key series against a premier team like the Yankees. You're trying to get this game. This could be a very important game for you and a momentum builder going into this next series against Toronto. Why not bring in a big bat like Miguel and see if he can, you know, you got to feel pretty confident that he's going to make something happen here. It was just, you know, it's very unfortunate that Miggy just goes and grounds out right into a double play.
But if it was a premier series, why did they bench Cabrera now in the final game of the series? If anything,
he needs rest, man.
Well, I know, but if it's that important, you play him and then you rest him in the Toronto series.
Yeah,
if
but
it was that important of a game.
It's they important.
They don't bench him.
It's important, but not that important. You know what I mean? Because Miguel Cabrera needs rest. I alluded to it during their All-Star break. Miguel Cabrera just doesn't look healthy right now. And again, I think his tongue slipped when he was talking to that, you know, international reporter when they asked him if he's healthy. And he kind of said, you know, wavered around and said, oh, I'm about 80, you know, 90%, you know, he didn't give 100%. And then, you know, the word gets out that he said that. And he's asked again during that weekend and he says, oh, I'm fine. I am 100% fine. Nothing is wrong with me. So I think Miguel Cabrera, him being one of your premier guys, you have to rest him. I don't care. You still got a long season left here. Well, not a long season. You got 50 or so games left here. It is getting down to crunch time. But Miguel Cabrera needs rest. But the fact that, you know, Brad did bring him back in shows that this series could prove to be a lot, you know, very, very, you know, a momentum builder going on in the season, which is why he brought him in. So I see both sides.
Yeah, see both sides, but I got to disagree with Bill. I have no problem with them taking out Martinez for Cabrera. If you bunt with Martinez, There's even no guarantee that you're going to expect Don Kelly to pop a fly ball out to center field. He couldn't even get it up past the infield.
Yeah.
So as much as, you're saying, okay, bunt with Martinez, move him over, that's one out, but then you got Don Kelly coming up to the plate. So no matter what, it's not like they're going to get an automatic fly ball regardless. So for me, I don't think that was a bad move at all. I like that they brought in Cabrera. He's the best hitter you have. Why not bring him in, Al?
I definitely see where you're coming from. That's why when it happened, I wasn't too – I mean, nobody's expecting Miguel Cabrera to ground into a double play. Let's be honest here. He's Miguel Cabrera. You know,
he does ground into some more double plays this year than in the past. That Bill is right. That has been a little bit of a slump for him.
Right. But no one's expecting – you know, in that moment, I wasn't too – harped on, you know, I did not fully disagree with, you know, taking out JD to bring in Miguel. It's one of those moves that if it pans out to be, you know, if let's say Miggy hits into a, you know, a single or a double there, Brad looks like a genius.
Exactly.
Now he's looking, you know, totally the opposite. So
and that's the other thing about Miggy, Al, is, and I said this last year during the playoffs, we haven't really seen a clutch moment from Miguel Cabrera yet. In the playoffs, maybe even regular season, you could argue. But, like, for example, everyone remembers Magaly Ordóñez's 3-run shot in the ninth in the pennant. Everyone remembers that. That was his clutch moment that propelled him to a great player. Miguel Cabrera is an amazing player. But I don't think he's had that moment yet where he comes in, and, you know, in the last inning, or he's in the playoff race and he hits a bomb to tie the game open. I haven't seen it yet. Sure.
What, does he need one?
There have been times during the year so far where ninth inning, he hits a 3-run shot to tie.
Yeah, he's had multiple in the regular season. But why does he need that?
Well,
though?
It's not even that he needs it. But the reason I bring that point up of that clutch factor for him is if he's – and Brad Ausmus put him in the game, obviously, because he thought he was clutch and that he would get that hit.
I think Miguel Cabrera is clutch. I wouldn't call him not clutch.
That's
you know?
The thing. I haven't seen really him being that clutch yet.
Those opportunities sometimes are so rare. You know, those opportunities are so rare. So the sample size how you measure that sample size is very, very small. And I think Miguel Cabrera has shown in the past. He's won a triple crown, for goodness sake. You know, he's shown that, hey, he's come up in big, big moments. We've seen him multiple times in the regular season do it. Even in the playoffs last year. I mean, Miguel Cabrera was outstanding. But as far as, you know, you're talking about that defining moment that you look back and say, hey, you remember when? You know, I don't necessarily think he needs it. It would be great to, you know, look back and say, hey, that was an incredible moment. But he's had so many other moments where it's like, I said in the past, Miguel Cabrera is one of the few players in the league that I will actually stop what I'm doing to watch what he does, because he's just a freak of nature, man. He's unbelievable. I don't know if he needs a defining moment. I see what you're saying.
I don't know. Every anchor to a team has that moment. Albert Pujols has his moments.
But why do you think he needs it?
I mean, because that's the thing, is you're paying him this much money to come in the ninth and win a game like that.
But he's still Miguel Cabrera, though.
Of course. He's an unbelievable
hitter. His resume speaks for itself.
Of course.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is their franchise player, and it's a World Series or bust year. You expect him to come into a ninth inning and get a base hit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I see that. Right. But, you know, I think what Miguel has done in the past and his rapport in the past kind of gives him sort of, you know, it gives him a few strikes here. You know, it gives him a few days of life here. You know, I think if he comes in and he in those moments, you know, let's say like yesterday afternoon, he doesn't get that hit. You know, he grounds into a double play. He's still Miguel Cabrera. Look at what he's done in the past. Give him a pass on a few of those. You know, I don't think we should harp on it too much. So, but yeah, but looking at that game, that was definitely a defining moment in that game. And the Tigers just kind of and only six runs throughout that entire series. The Tigers, they got to play better than that. The bats have to wake up here. They have to wake up. We have another caller right now. Bob, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hi, Al. Thanks. I have to, of course, this is hindsight,
yeah.
But I have to agree with the previous caller. I mean, this is where a manager has to come in and manage to win the game. As much as Miguel's great, I think you got to do the bunt and then put him in perhaps later, because, again, you can't count on one guy winning it all the time. I know he's got a record, but
right.
Coming through, but... anyways, I think the manager should have done something there. Would Leland have done it, or maybe Sparky? You know, go for the bunt.
Right.
The Tigers done that much this year at all, since they're struggling for runs. I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't. That's true. And it's all about, at this time of the year, especially in a series like that, and a golden opportunity like that, you know, it's all about manufacturing runs and you know, moving guys up. And, hey, a bunt would have definitely moved a guy to third and put a guy in a position to score. Hey, definitely, Bob. I definitely see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, because like you say, it's long season, while it keeps getting shorter and shorter, too.
Right.
And every game counts. Well, thanks for the call, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. Really appreciate it. We have another caller. Apachu is online, too. Apachu, my man. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, brother? I'm doing good, man. Hey, man, you guys need to expand another hour, because you got a lot of topics going.
Yeah,
there's
we do.
A lot of stuff happening.
It is.
I'm serious. Is that possible?
What's that? I'm sorry. I think we broke up a little bit.
Are you guys locked into an hour, or can you expand your program? I think there's a hard demand for your program, man.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're in the talks right now. I know Alex and I were chatting. We had a meeting last month, man, and we're trying to do a few remotes here and there at different locations and to expand the show a little bit. So, yeah, we got some things cooking about you.
That's good. my comment today, man, I love to talk about everything you talked about.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm glad Hardaway got a job. That brother was he was dealt an injustice. He made he gave his opinion on homosexuality, I think it was 15, 20 years ago, and he suffered.
Did he? I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, well, he said, if you're homosexual, I don't want to be around you. And his career was devastated by that. In fact, he was disinvited to the All-Star game. He wasn't a player at the time. Everybody created distance, and then you started to see him to creep back in. I'm glad that he's back, because today that would not be a big issue, you know.
Right.
So I'm glad that brother's back, you know. As far as the Pistons, they get a good coach, they get a good program, they fire him, so that's sad. But anyway, on the NCAA, the autonomy that's going to be given to the top five.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Apache?
Well, last year I said that paying athletes, okay, and suing NCAA and creating that union was really a Trojan horse. It was a vehicle to get to inside the heads of the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to watch Houdini a lot, the great escape artist, and there was only one lock he couldn't pick, or one door he couldn't open, or one box he couldn't get out of. And they put him in a jail cell. And after, I think it was 2 or 3 days, he said, I can't do it. I can't pick this lock. Well, he found out that it was unlocked. And NCAA was a giant because they let him be a giant. And they saw the writing on the wall. And that writing is that you're not as fortified, you're not as legally consolidated as you think. And they saw the writing on the wall, they saw people coming after him, and they said, okay, we're going to yield something. And they did the smart thing. And I think it's going to be good for conferences, because conferences are going to make themselves more attractive for athletes. Okay, because
right.
You know, what do you got to offer me? So I think it's going to improve education. I think it's going to improve insurance for their health, for their injuries. I think they're going to do a lot of good things. There might be some bad things in there, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think conferences are really going to go head-to-head now in terms of securing this athlete, because it's all about getting them horses. And
right.
to get that horse, you got to show me what you got. You got to show me something that's attractive and beneficial to me. So I do like that aspect very, very much. So that was all I had to say, brothers. You guys, I hope you get some more time, man. Take care.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, Apache. You appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that really, it's really, really opened the door now for many, Alex, many schools. That, you know, when you talk about those Power Five conferences, how they define, how they define the cost of attendance is really the big thing I'm going to be looking at, because there's so many question marks. And how do you define cost of attendance for a student athlete when they attend a university like a Michigan State or a Michigan and so on and so forth? That's really what I've been looking at reports and doing a little research before we hit the show today. That's the question mark that's really, really out there that isn't defined yet. And they're going to be having multiple meetings on how each school defines cost of attendance. And let's say a school, you know, they find that a school like Michigan State, their cost of attendance is a bit lower than Michigan's.
Right.
Do you start to give more benefits to a school like Michigan or vice versa? You know, it gets really sticky when you talk about that area. But this discussion now has allowed a lot of the power now to kind of shift in favor of the student athlete. It's really interesting. It's real dynamic.
Yeah. We were going to save a lot of this for Barbershop Wednesday, but with it being so new and so fresh, we've got to talk about it today, maybe after the break.
Yeah, definitely. We'll dive into that. We'll also talk, and we can continue to take your calls and also bring you Reflection Friday. You do not want to touch that dial. Current sports will return in the blink of an eye. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, interesting. We got an interesting call, I believe, during that first segment, Alex. And I had heard about it. I was on Twitter. Now, neither one of us, we didn't attend the Moneyball Pro-Am. We've attended in past weeks, but we weren't there last night. And I was on Twitter looking up a few things. And, because I follow everybody back, you know, on Twitter, man. If you follow
as
me,
you should.
I return the love, okay? And there were a few people that I follow, you know, just, you know, local residents around Lansing who attended the Moneyball program yesterday. And I saw some tweets about Draymond Green getting into it with somebody and ripping a jersey. Now, I just saw a few tweets about it. I don't know the specifics, so I'm just going on what I saw on Twitter. There was something like Draymond Green got into a scuffle of some sort or something. I'm not sure, but I heard the word. There was a word fight in a few of the tweets. I'm not sure what went down. But if you do, we definitely want to hear about it. I didn't hear. I don't know the specifics as to it. Again, the number to call in if you were there or heard about this, we definitely would love to have you on the air. If you want to speak anonymously, if you don't, you know, if you don't want to give your name or anything, we'll definitely have you on the air and you can just talk, okay? That number is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, because we got a caller earlier, right, Alex? And I don't know if she gave me specifics to what happened or not, but I definitely saw a few tweets last night about it.
The caller that we talked to earlier did not want to go on the air, but some of the details that she said that one anonymous caller saw were Draymond tearing off a jersey from someone and just a bloody head injury, a close head injury that was all over the place, and it was a fight that broke out between several players and from several Spartans attending the event.
Interesting.
Spartan basketball players. So
really? Okay. Well, now this is not confirmed. We won't throw
that
out there. This is not confirmed. This is just he say, she say,
right.
She saw. I didn't see it. I wasn't there. We weren't. The Current Sports was not in the house last night. We were attending to other needs when it comes to the show. But those who were, if you were there, we don't know what happened. We would love to take your calls. I'll be making a few calls after the show, I'll tell you that. But again, the number is 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I know we're supposed to have Carlton Valentine on the show. I shot him a text before we took the air, but we can't get in touch with him. Carlton, what's going on, my brother? So if we don't get him today, we'll definitely get him on Monday of next week. You know how things come up. So again, we'll talk to Carlton later. I had a lot of questions for Carlton, man, but we'll save. We'll put it in our pocket for right now. But hey, Alex, about 15 minutes left in the show. Really quickly before we dive into, again, I guess the NCAA talks of the autonomy discussion with that. But I really want to just briefly hit on, there's been a lot that's happening in the world of sports this week. So many stories to talk about, so many things. This is our Reflection Friday really quickly. What's been your favorite story of the week and why? It can even be something we haven't even talked about on the show.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Moneyball story.
that may be your favorite.
That
huh?
might be it, but no, it has to be Rory, man. I mean, he's first place right now again with the PGA Championship. Unbelievable. This guy is probably going to be the next best athlete of the year in golf.
I think he already is right now.
I can guarantee it.
Yeah, Rory is
amazing.
It is truly, truly amazing. Rory McIlroy.
He just won.
Yeah, he comes off back to back wins.
Kind of reminds me of something like Tiger.
Whoa. Okay, let's not get a little too.
Not many golfers can go back to back.
This could be back to back to back. You know, three straight for him. So I mean, we haven't seen that since Tiger Woods. Now, again,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Rory's unbelievable. I mean, Rory McIlroy, I mean, he's only 25 years old, completely just dominant right now in the game of golf. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's playing the best golf of anyone in this entire world. But to eclipse the Tiger Woods, who, again, I mean, looking at what Tiger did, I mean, Tiger wouldn't just win tournaments. He would just blow the field out. You know, it would just be, he would be up by like 8-9 strokes by the time the tournament would end. So I definitely see where you're going, though. But and Rory right now, I'm looking at the leaderboard. He is tied. He's still through 14 holes. Ryan Palmer, who's they're both tied. Him and Ryan Palmer are tied for the lead right now at 7 under. Ryan is done for the day. Rory McIlroy still has some holes to play here, and he's through 14 right now. He has 4 holes left, and he's at 7 under. He could still add some strokes to that lead. So it's truly remarkable. And yeah, Rory McIlroy certainly that's certainly been a big story of the week, without a doubt. For me, you know what? I was actually sitting home yesterday, and this is late at night, man. I come in from work pretty late, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just go on Comcast On Demand. So I'll go on Comcast On Demand. You know, I'm a big Real Sports with Brian Gumbel guy. I don't know if you follow Real Sports at all.
Love that show.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. I watched Real Sports and Hard Knocks, the season one, episode one with the Atlanta Falcons, which was really, really good as well. But anyway, going on Brian Gumbel, they had a story that dealt with the lack of popularity of the game of golf in today's world. And it's really interesting because I had no idea. I thought the people, you know, because I golf pretty often. You're starting to really catch on to the sport now. There's many, many people that golf on a regular basis, but when you look at the numbers across the board in this nation, golf popularity has gone down tremendously, specifically when it comes to the youth. And Bryant Gumbel did a story on this, where he went out and to a few golf ranges and a few golf experts. He even sat down with the great, who many perceive to be the greatest golfer of all time, Jack Nicklaus. He sat down with Jack. And, you know, it was interesting because when he talked to Jack, you know, Jack Nicklaus has a lot of golf courses around the nation that he has started up. And he's got many, internationally as well, not even just in America. And he was talking about, you know, how many of his courses have closed down because nobody's playing golf anymore. Nobody's playing golf. And, you know, he talked about how, you know, Brian asked him, oh, well, how many golf courses do you have in construction right now? Jack was like, okay, well, I have a few, you know, here and there and there. They were all places other than the United States of America. They were all international courses being built. And he was like, well, how many of you have in construction right now in the United States? And he said, zero. Absolutely none. Zero, zilch, nada. And did you know, every 3 days, a golf course closes somewhere in America? That's unbelievable. I had no idea. It was really just eye-opening stuff. And they were talking about how the PGA and how different courses are trying to spark the interest of young golfers, the youth generation. And it's really interesting because I don't know if you've seen this, but golf courses around the nation are starting to, you know how small that cup is right now. they're about to expand. Some courses are expanding the cup to about 15 to 20 inches. Like it's bigger than the size of a basketball, and they're starting to do that on courses because it's easier to get in the hole, and it's instant gratification. And that's, you know, and we know we live in, as far as the youth goes in our society right now, the youth is it's an instant gratification society. And they're starting to see that young golfers are having more fun on the course as opposed to playing 18 and trying to get their ball in this small little hole and being totally frustrated.
Are you a part of those people that are frustrated?
Oh, I get so fun. But you know, it's fun to me because I'm a type of guy. I love challenges. So golf is to me the toughest sport I've ever played. I mean, trying to get that little ball into that little hole every single time. You know, it's fun to me. You know, that frustration is fun to me. But to the youth, you know, we all live it right now in society, especially when it comes to our youth. I always talk to my little cousins about it. The attention span of our youth is so short, shorter than ever now. They want to have fun immediately. They don't know the grind of having, you know, having instant gratification is what they live for. If they're not having fun within the first 5 to 10 minutes of playing a sport or anything for that matter, they're not going to play it, you know, and golf can be, and this is a great question that Brian Gumbel asked Jack Nicklaus, you know, whether or not golf, the way the game of golf is right now, if it's too hard for this generation, upcoming generation. And Jack said it. He's like, yeah, of course it is. You know, they want the instant satisfaction of going out there and having instant success and having instant fun in anything they do. So I definitely see where they're going. I think if expanding, you know, the size of where the current hole is right now to 15 inches or 20 inches, if that's going to bring more people to the golf course, if that's going to bring more youth to the golf course and introduce them to the game of golf, hey, I say do it. I say do
all
it,
right,
man.
Well, first of all, I think it's a little skewed. A lot of the courses that are closing, sure, maybe the youth interest isn't as there, and some studies and surveys show that. But a lot of courses close today because the grounds aren't kept up well. There's an oversupply of courses in general. I mean, you go in a state, there are way too many courses than people go. They have so many open tee times, and that's a lot of it. It's just the demand of it is just not as there for what the supply is.
I don't know if I fully agree with that one. I think
Al, you go to
these
a course right
these
now.
These courses are courses that have survived for years and years.
It doesn't matter.
And they even brought up stats. If you look at this report, looking at the stats, when Tiger Woods was at his heyday, when Tiger Woods was totally dominant, especially during his teenage years in near 2000, 1999, 2000 to about 2006, golf was the most popular it had ever been. They were starting to see, like, you know, 16, 15, 14 on up, you know, to about, you know, 30-year-olds. They had seen the highest spike in that age and demographic of golfers than they have ever seen in the history of golf. People were playing golf simply because it was cool to play golf. You know, now that they don't have a face right now, they don't have a guy who makes golf look cool right now like Tiger did. Hey, the youth don't care about it. You know, they're not going out there and playing, you know. And it's really interesting because also in that report, I don't know if you've heard of this place, but it's called, I believe it's called Top Golf. You know, don't quote me on that, but I believe it's called Top Golf, though. It's a place out in Texas. Really, really cool place. You know how you go to a bowling alley and you got your own booth and, you know, you got drinks there and you're with your friends and you guys are bowling, having a good time. Bowling is fun. You know, it's a good time out with teenagers. Or any age for that fact. But this place has kind of adopted that type of format to golf. And you go in, it's a huge dome. It's called Top Golf. It's this huge dome, right? It's like you go into a golf dome, right? And it's kind of like you have these different areas set up, like, you know how you're at a hotel and you look out and you're on the balcony and you can look at other rooms and everything. It's kind of like that, and they have these different booths set up. I'm probably describing this totally, totally terrible right now, but Google it when you get a chance. But the golf course is lit up. It's dark, and it's lit up with neon lights, and it's really cool. You got your own booth. Each ball has a computer chip in it, and every time you hit it, if you get the closest who gets to the pin, the ball can be tracked, and you look on this really cool digital screen, and it gives you points. you know, and you compete against your friends. And again, it looks so cool. The entire golf course is lit up in these different colored lights, and kids are having fun. And, you know, when Bryant went to go, you know, check it out, there was a line wrapped around the block for people trying to get in and have a good time. And the average age and demographic of those trying to get in there, they were about, I think he said around 18 to, you know, 16 to 22 year olds was the demographic trying to get in there. I mean, it really introduced these kids to the game, and they were having fun doing it. So I think right now, golf right now, I think it's in panic mode right now. For the youth,
but
as far as youth.
You said it before that Rory might be that guy to revitalize it. Do you think that's still true? Do you think it needs a star to revitalize the game?
It does.
But I don't think that has anything to do with courses having open times and courses shutting down.
I think it definitely does, Alex. I think going back to even Michael Jordan, when Michael Jordan was in his heyday, we saw people everywhere trying to what? Be like Mike.
Yeah.
You know, people in China playing the game and knowing Michael Jordan. And, you know, in Europe, you know, in Indonesia. I mean, everywhere. Everybody knew about Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Mike and play the game of basketball. When you have that figure, that face on the pro level of sports, who is that guy that you can look at and who makes the game look cool, oh, man, popularity goes up. And you saw that with Tiger, the way he walked. And it helped. And this is just being real. It helped that Tiger was multiracial. Because you had, especially in my community growing up, you know, my dad wouldn't pick up a golf club if it wasn't for Tiger Woods.
Right.
My dad, who's African-American, he didn't even look at golf until Tiger Woods started playing, you know? And he wanted to go out there, his buddies, everybody's talking about Tiger and, you know, being like Tiger. And they would go out and at least try it and play 18 holes, and now he's hooked. And, you know, that right there, you know, Tiger was so dynamic in so many ways as far as him being multiracial, him being so dominant, him having that swag, wearing the red on Sundays, the fist pump. I mean, everything. His aura brought people to the game of golf. I don't think that Rory's going to be that guy to even come close to that level of popularity that Tiger was, but he's going to be very, 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 very good. And he's on the right track right now. As far as the amount of people he'll touch, it won't be like Tiger Woods. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah, but Tiger's still there, and people still are fans of Tiger.
But he's not
trying
winning.
To be like Tiger.
But
of
he's
course.
Not winning. That's the thing. He got to win, too, you know?
Of course he's not winning, but the sponsors are still there. I mean, it's not like he's shooting 20 over. I mean, he's still 3 over. Isn't horrible. Yeah, it's not making the cut, but it's not horrible. He's still one of the best golfers, believe it or not, Al. I mean, Tiger isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, he's getting
Tiger
older.
Tiger Cam, regardless that he's not winning, they still put Tiger Cam in.
They do.
Even
it's
though he's not
Tiger
winning.
Track. I understand it, but Tiger, let's be honest, Tiger's getting older. He hasn't won a major since I was in high school, Alex. That's at 2008. You know, it's like, you know, when is he going to, you know, get out of this funk? You know,
right, but he's still finishing sometimes in
the
top.
Yeah, but that's
he
not
still
good
gets
enough. It's not good. People stop caring after a while. You know, people after a while, it's like, okay, Tiger hasn't won in a while. It's all fine and dandy. Golf is put on a supreme stage, and golf is talked about more when Tiger Woods is not only playing, but winning as well. You know, they may, right now, if you turn on SportsCenter right now, they may talk about Tiger and say, oh, there's Tiger Woods, let's see how he's doing. Okay, he's having a terrible day. After that, they don't even mention him. After that, it's like, okay, let's move on to our next story.
Right,
if
right,
he's
right.
winning, I mean, it's full blast coverage. I mean, they'll show every single hole, you know, interview him, you know, show the press conference. It's ridiculous.
And even in the digital world, man, when you're searching on Google PGA Championship score update, if you're listening to the show right now, you want to find the latest scores for the PGA Championship, you type in leaderboard. You expect Tiger Woods to come. Where's Tiger at? He doesn't even come up on the top leaderboard.
It's not even close.
I would even expect that they put Tiger's score just by itself.
Right.
They don't even do that on
a
website.
They used to. They used to, though.
They used to.
Now, no. Not at all, man. It's just... This is a different Tiger we're watching, man. This is a... The long gone are the days of players getting a little nervous and a little intimidated with playing with Tiger or knowing that Tiger is even in the field or even in contention. Gone are those days. I think, I don't know. It really hurts me because I'm a big Tiger Woods fan. But, yeah, I mean, it's hurt. But bottom line, though, it's having an effect on the popularity of golf now and having an immense one. So, interesting stuff. We'll definitely dive into it. I'll probably even play some excerpts from that report next week.
That'd be great.
That'd be a great topic for us to dive into.
I didn't expect us to go the whole time about this.
Yeah, it's an intriguing topic. Oh, only 1 minute left in the show. I tell you what, definitely have a discussion next week, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll also bring up and really dive into the NCAA approving the Power Five, that whole situation. It's really, really interesting, folks. So we'll talk about that and so much more next week. It's going to be a great week on Current Sports. You don't want to miss it, folks. But, hey, we want to thank you all who called in and weighed in on any of our current sports topics or anything that just happened to be on your heart. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.